Well, praise the Lord. You know, when you read the scriptures from the very beginning in Genesis 1 and 2, you see that God made everything, and he made a very special, perfect place to fellowship with man, the Garden of Eden. But then in chapter 3, you see that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that fellowship was broken. And after they disobeyed the Lord, they were banned from the Garden of Eden. They no longer walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. But you don't get very far into the Bible that you see that men began to talk to God again. In fact, it's the very next chapter in Genesis 4:26. It says, "Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." And you know, it's really amazing in a way, because they didn't have any churches and they didn't have any scripture. But somehow they knew that there really was a God. In view of creation, they knew that there had to be a God who was there. In fact, when you read in that verse, he says they began to call on the name of the Lord. When it says the Lord, it's actually the name Yahweh. Yahweh means eternal, self-existent one. They knew that there had to be a God who has always been. They knew that God had to be real. I want to tell you that God has always had people who called on the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me, these men somehow, these people understood that there was a God there that they could call upon when they were in trouble, when they were in danger, when they were in need. And it started there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, and it goes all the way through the Bible. And that word for call, well, it means to call out to, but it also means to entreat, to beg, to plea, to cry out to with all your heart. But in the context, we just need to understand, it's simply talking about prayer, to call out to him. It's to look to him for your answer, to look to him for your help, for your victory. To call out to him is to turn to him with your trust. See, when we call out to the Lord, well, we're turning our attention to the Lord. We're not looking to man. We're not looking to the things of man for our help. As I've got to tell you that too often, people look to things of this world and to man first. And then as a last resort, if it comes to it, we'll call out to the Lord. We need to get our priorities straight, that God is always our answer. He's the first place we go. Amen. We call out to the Lord and let him work it out. Let him bring the answer however he sees fit. But to call out to him is to put your trust in him. No matter how it looks, you trust him that he's going to make a way. When we call out to him, you see, we're calling him into our world, into our situation. We're calling upon his presence and his power in our lives to intervene into our circumstances. When people began to call out on the Lord, they found that he would answer. You need to know that God will answer when you call out, that he will come and rescue. There's somebody who's listening, who's gracious and merciful. And God's people have always been identified this way. They're the people that call out to the Lord. In Genesis 12:8, Abraham built an altar to the Lord and he called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 26:25, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. They're calling on the name Yahweh. We get to call on the name Jesus, that name that's above every name. And I want to tell you, in our personal lives and as a church and as a nation, we need to return to calling on the Lord. See, our nation needs to return to this, to calling on the Lord. I'm not talking about having a little religion. I'm talking about something that's very real, where we call on the Lord. He is the one that we're looking to, and our trust is in. There's way too much pride. Too many think that we can just handle whatever comes our way. We're bigger, we're better, we're stronger, we're more powerful, we got more money. I want to tell you, we're in trouble if that's where our trust is. We got to call on the Lord. We as a nation need to get back to the place where we call on the Lord. We know that it is God who has made our nation great, and it's God who will keep it and nothing else. And we can't look to these other things and think that that's the answer. And I want to tell you this morning that that will happen when the church goes back to calling on the Lord instead of looking to other things. Moses says this about the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 4:7. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. Oh, such a great promise here. We have God so near that for whatever reason we may call upon him. Church, as the people of God, we need to know that he is there and we can call upon him for whatever reason. It was the Lord that made Israel a great nation, and it is the Lord that makes his church unstoppable, that not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. And so why would we look to the things of this world to think that that's how he's going to build his church or bring about his plan and his purpose? I want to tell you, God can get it done. We just need to call upon him and not look to the things of this world. There was a time when the people of Israel were not really serving God. In fact, many of them had turned to a false god named Baal. And Elijah, the man of God, this prophet, he comes on the scene and he challenges the prophets of Baal. He tells them, we're going to build two altars with two sacrifices, and then we're going to call on our God for fire. And the God that answers, he's the true God. This is the way he said it, 1 Kings 18:24. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. Elijah had such confidence and such conviction that when he called on God, that God would answer. The prophets of Baal, they call and they cry out and they dance around in a frenzy. And Elijah, the prophet, he just kind of makes fun of them. He says, maybe your God is out of town, or maybe he's busy. Maybe he's asleep and y'all just need to yell a little louder. In our day and time, he probably would have said, and hey, maybe he sees it's you calling and he just ain't taking your call. He just don't want to talk to you. Little side trail here into Isaiah 44. In Isaiah 44, it talks about how this man takes a block of wood, and with part of it, he builds himself a fire to warm himself and to cook himself some food. And with the other part of this block of wood, he makes him an idol. He might cut out some eyes and shape some ears and a mouth. But here's the thing. That idol, it can't see, it can't hear, and it can't speak. It's a block of wood. And here's the thing. Those men who were calling out to their God, he couldn't hear them. He couldn't see. He couldn't speak. He has no power. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating, he's busy, he's on a journey, perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud, they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. They're trying to get their God's attention. Some people think that cutting's a new thing. It's not. It's been going on a really long time. That's the way the devil treats his servants. The blood gushed out. Wow. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. But when Elijah prays, when he calls on the Lord, everything changes. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. See, this is really a story of revival of God's people. This was to turn their heart back to the Lord. How did this happen? What brought this about? Somebody was calling on the Lord. Elijah was praying. He was calling on the Lord. That's what began this revival. Amen. And that's what gets it done in our day. It hadn't changed. Right. We got to quit looking to the things of this world. As long as we think that something else will get it done, we won't see God move. Right. It happens this way. Somebody calling on the name of the Lord. It's when God's people pray. Verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when the people of God saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Calling on the name of the Lord. That's how revival comes. That's the way that revival has always come, is when people call on the name of the Lord. We can't put our confidence in other things. Too much of the time we put value and trust in other things and the methods of men. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we can plan, we can devise, we can computerize, we can politicize, we can work at it with all our strength. But if we don't call upon the Lord, it's not going to happen. It takes God's power, His touch. It takes the Spirit of God. Because Zechariah 4:6 tells us it's not by might nor by power, not by the might or power of man. He says, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, we need to call on the Lord, I'm telling you, a whole lot more than what we do. Because it's the Holy Spirit that draws people. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. And when people are born again, guess what? They're born of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God that gets the work done. Why do we look to man and the things of man thinking that's how we get it done? No, we just need God to move, and He can do it. See, when people aren't calling on God, it doesn't matter what else is happening. It's not real revival. And a lot of times in this world, people look to technology and whatever's hip and cool, human ability and talent, and they look to celebrities and they think that God, well, you know, God can use this. Listen, God can use anything and anybody He wants to, but He's not going to give His glory to another. And we got to return to just calling on God and praying and seeking His face. That's where the answer is. My goodness, I'm thankful for the internet. I'm thankful for technology. I'm just telling you, though, God is the one we need to be putting our faith and trust, our hopes in. And it's not about, oh, look at the big numbers over here, the big numbers over here. Let me tell you something. This is a big part of the reason that the church in America is so flippant, so lukewarm. Can't stand because they put their trust in all these other things instead of the one true God and truly calling on Him. Every great revival, if you study, read history, church history of all of the great revivals that happened, the Great Awakening, the Second Awakening, the Welsh Revival, even the Zuzu Revival, where the Spirit of God was poured out, every single one of them happened this way. Somebody was calling on God. They got sick of the status quo and just the same old thing, and they started calling out, crying out to God until the Holy Spirit moved. That's the answer. That's how revival has always happened. No other way. Always in answer to people calling out to God. Listen, it's about to get ugly. That's all right. The problem is not that there's not enough prayer in school. Let me tell you something. As long as they have tests, there's going to be prayer in school. And teenagers, kids, they can pray anytime they want to. They can pray. If they're not praying at school, it's because they don't pray. But they can pray. The problem is there's not enough prayer at church. There's not enough church people praying. That's where the real problem is. Because I want to tell you, this old world can't stop our God. And if we'll pray, if we'll call on the Lord, He'll answer. Just as He answered Elijah that day, He answered by fire. I'm telling you, our God is able to move and work and change lives. You know what? They didn't have prayer in the Roman Empire. They didn't have prayer in their schools. Nobody cared what Claudius the emperor was doing. Nobody cared what Caligula was doing. They didn't care about all the ungodliness and the immoral stuff. This, no demon can stop God. It's a distraction. Listen, I'm not saying that stuff's okay. I'm saying the answer is not for us to be all wound up about what the government's doing or not doing. The answer is for us to call on our God, to pray and to seek His face. So much of the time, people just get all wound up over this issue or that. I wish people would get that wound up over prayer and just seeking God. Oh my goodness. You don't see Paul wringing his hands in the New Testament saying, well, I don't know what we're going to do. That Caligula, he's a transvestite. He's putting on a woman's clothes. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Do you see that in your Bible? I haven't read one thing, not anything about anything like that. Have you? No, but what they did do is they prayed and they believed God, and the church just kept going and it kept moving forward. Nothing this world does can stop His church. The Roman Empire tried to stop it. It started with just a few hundred people and it just spread like wildfire. They couldn't stop it because it was a move of God. It got to the place. Here's an accusation made against the church. Acts 17:6. They said, these who have turned the world upside down. We need to turn the world upside down again. And you know how it happens? By people praying. That's it. Yes. That brings the move of God. This really is a message about simple prayer. It is. Because I got to tell you, this is not complicated. We just need to call on God a whole lot more than we do. But I do want to make the point to you one more time. That when we're focused on this and that and this and that, we're not focused on the right thing. I'm going to tell you again, when we pray, the Holy Spirit can change hearts, can change lives. Miracles happen. People are set free. I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit can do it if we'll just pray and seek God's face. I've talked about George Mueller a few times over the years. He's a great missionary from the 1800s, and God put it in his heart to start an orphanage. The problem was that George only had 50 cents in his pocket, and I know 50 cents was a whole lot more money back then than it is now, but it sure wasn't enough to start an orphanage. But here's where it gets pretty weird, at least by the way we think today. George didn't ask anybody for help. He didn't ask anybody to contribute. And he starts an orphanage, these orphanages. Now, different sources give different amounts, but George raised over $1 million for his orphanages back in the 1800s. in today's money, that would be at least $100 million, or well over $100 million. It's absolutely phenomenal to think about this, especially when you consider that he got no government assistance. He didn't have any television appeals. He didn't use the internet. There was no mass mail outs. It was just him calling on God. And for 60 years, God supplied the needs. And he ran those orphanages and took care of 10,000 children. And get this, there has never been an organization since that has had as many orphanages and took care of as many children as his did in the 1800s. How can this be? Because this man just called on God. Like those prophets of old, he believed that God could do miracles. He still can, church. He still can. Don't limit God. Our God is mighty to save. He can do anything. There's a story about one day in particular, how the Lord provided George. Had the lady that was over taking care of the children. She came to him and she said, "The kids are all dressed, ready for school, but we don't have any food today." And George just, well, he told her, he said, "Take the kids into the cafeteria, seat them at the tables." And then they just waited, and George prayed. And in a few minutes, there was a knock at the door, and the baker said that he couldn't sleep last night, that God had woke him up and told him to bring bread. And so he had made 3 batches, and it was enough to feed those 300 children. And then, in just a little bit, somebody knocks at the door. It's the milkman. His milk truck or cart had broken down outside. And he says, "All my milk's going to spoil. Could y'all use it?" They had bread and milk for all the kids. Listen, God just miraculously provided for George and for those orphanages for 60 years. He kept a record, a journal of his prayers. In fact, it was 3,000 pages. And he recorded 50,000 answered prayers. Boggles the mind. 50,000 answered prayers. How can that be? Because here was a man that wouldn't trust in anything else except God. He knew that God was the answer. And oh, how we need to know that in our lives, listen, as a church, but also for us personally, as individuals, we need to know he's so near that whatever we need, we can go to him. David, the man after God's own heart, you know, God used him and just brought victory after victory after victory. I mean, no matter what the battle was, David knew the key, and it was to call upon the Lord. And in fact, you see this, if you read about the life of David and you read the Psalms that he wrote, you'll see over and over and over again that this was just a way of life for him, that he called on the Lord. In Psalm 4:3, he said, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." He knew that was the answer. In another psalm, in Psalm 14:4, he says, "The workers of iniquity don't call on the Lord." So here's how you can figure out which camp you're in. Do you call on the Lord? The workers of iniquity, that's who that is. Or do you call, did I get that right? You call on the Lord, then you're the godly. If you don't call on the Lord, you're with the workers of iniquity. Which one? Which camp? We need to be calling on the Lord always. He is the answer. Now you'll notice in Psalm 145 and verse 18, he says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." He's near to all who call upon him. When you call on the Lord, when you cry out to him, he's near. Sometimes you may not feel it. You may not, you know, have some evidence of it in the natural, but you have his word on it. He is near to those who call upon him. He does put a condition on this. He says, in truth, who call upon him in truth. It can't be phony. It can't be with pretense. It has to be with sincerity and truth that we are relying upon God and calling upon him. But he is not far away. He is near. And when you're going through something, when you're anxious, when you don't know what to do, when you need healing, when you need victory in some area, you just need to begin to call upon the Lord and know that he's right there with you and he'll bring the victory. You need to believe that he'll hear when you call on him. Psalm 4:3, I want to read it again. He says, the Lord will hear when I call to him. See, you need to pray with confidence and say, I know the Lord hears me. I know the Lord hears me. Because see, the devil will tell you, oh, your prayers don't matter. Oh, you call out to the Lord, nothing happened. You need to know, when I call on the Lord, I know that he will hear me. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call to me and I will answer you. He is the God who answers. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. He invites us. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. You're going to have a day of trouble. Anybody got any trouble? I know you do, because Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But we're all going to have trouble. We're all going to have the day of trouble. But here's the thing. If it gets us to call on the Lord, then it's a good thing. Because sometimes it seems like we forget to call upon him when things are going well. We just kind of start drifting through life. But here's the problem with that. Sometimes we're drifting away from the Lord too. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden some trouble comes. You know, you thought you had it all together. You felt, you know, like you were strong and everything's good. And all of a sudden some trouble comes and now it's, oh God, I need you. Lord, I desperately need you. Oh Lord, help me. Me and Carmen, somebody over there. Yeah, there's a few of us. I know every single sincere Christian, you've been there. Because there are times when we just need that. I'm not going to tell you God sent it. I'm going to tell you that God will use it. Sometimes when trouble comes, it turns his people back to the place they should have been, where they're relying upon him and calling out to him. And he says, he'll answer. And he says, and you're going to glorify me. You see, when God answers our prayers, we need to be careful to always give him the glory. Don't think it just worked out. Don't think you got it done somehow, but always give God the glory. You know, talking about David. David in Psalm 34:6, it says, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man, King David referring to himself as a poor man. You know, David, the one who killed the lion and the bear and the giant. This poor man, he says. You know why he's calling himself a poor man? Because he knows that he desperately needs God. You see, there's a lot of people in this world want to act like they're something. David was wise enough and had enough of a relationship with God that he knew that he desperately needed God all the time. See, some people think, well, you know, David, he must have just been really good with the sling. I'm sure he was good with a sling, but I'm also sure that he was not relying upon himself. It wasn't self-confidence that got it done, because he told that giant, he said, today the Lord will give you into my hand. He wasn't relying on his own ability. He was calling on the Lord and trusting God that God was going to give him the victory. And God did it over and over and over in his life. David trusted the Lord. In Psalm 18:6, he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. You know, we all have those times of crisis. You need to pray an emergency prayer. And I want to tell you, we need to be calling out to the Lord all the time. But you also need to know that in a moment, in an instant, that you can call out to God. I mean, sometimes things happen fast. It may be the only prayer you got out of your mouth was Jesus. But call upon him. Yes. Call upon him. In your distress, you cry out to God. He hears those kinds of prayers. See, when you're sick, when your loved one's sick, when your teenager is heading the wrong way, what do? You start calling out to God, and you just keep calling out to God. When your marriage isn't doing well, what do? You need to call out to God. Yes. See, we try this, we try that. I want to tell you, God might give you some direction of some things you need to do in your marriage, but here's always the starting place where you get before God and you call out to him. You're trusting in him and not in the things of man, but always trusting God. Call upon him. Jesus sent the disciples across the lake in a boat, and then he comes walking to them on the water. And in Matthew 14 and 28, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. He's calling on Jesus. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter had little faith. He's been criticized for that a lot. A little faith is more than most people. It's more than anybody had in the boat. He's still the only one besides Jesus that's recorded in Scripture as walking on the water. But yes, he began to sink. He got his eyes off of Jesus and got his eyes on the waves. But he did the right thing. He cried out, Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? Jesus reaches out his hand and lifts him up. I want to tell you, even when your faith may not be perfect, when you're struggling, you cry out to the Lord and he can lift you up. You just need to keep calling on him, looking to him. I like this that it says when he began to sink. When he began to sink. See, when you begin to sink, when you first realize that you got a problem, that's the time to call on the Lord. When your finances take a downturn, when your health doesn't look so bad. See, don't wait until the test comes back. You start calling on the Lord. Amen. Immediately. You don't have to wait till you're going under for the last time to call on the Lord. And I think as the people of God, it just ought to be lifestyle for us. We're just calling on God all the time. I'll tell you, you get in a car and driving DFW, you ought to call on the Lord before you get out of the driveway. I don't care how good a driver you are, you can't control what some person is going to do in their car. You need to be calling on the Lord, trusting the Lord every day for divine protection, for his blessing on your household, to watch over and keep your children. We just need him. We need him. We need him. We need to call on him a lot more as individuals and as a church. And the church will make a difference in this nation. Psalm 116 and 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord. Because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Call upon him. Whatever it is, call upon him. A besetting sin, an addiction, some stronghold in your life, call upon him. Somebody that needs Jesus, you want to see them come to Jesus, call upon him. I tell you, God will use you, but you need to be calling upon the Lord. You can't do it without His help. Our God is a God who is ready to forgive, He says, all who call upon Him. And you're here this morning and you know things aren't right, or you know that there's some things in your life that need to be dealt with, call upon Him. He's ready. He's ready. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.